All right, there you have it. Kevin Stefanski, press conference. A quick one today because it's raining at the Greenbrier. So
Was it ever? You could hear it.
Wow. You should have been a meteorologist.
That's your gig.
No, I'm just saying, Jeff, I could feel it. Like the way you told me that it was raining just now, I feel that widely scattered darkness.
Your gig
is coming tonight. Braves. I guess that's going to be the storyline of the day today because he's expected to speak. Not now because they moved practice. So probably be after 2:30. Did they say after practice?
Afternoon
or
show, probably.
So, yeah, so make sure you're listening to Afternoon Drive because I'm sure they'll layer that this afternoon because Keith appreciates a good press conference, don't you think? I would think so.
Why don't you go work for Keith then?
Well, why wouldn't I? I already do, don't I?
Why don't you go live with those? Oh, so the Johnsons get to go play? Well, why don't you go live with the Johnsons then?
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know. I think he's implying
he's being very mean.
Do you think we work for him now? Do we work for Menigan? Is that what he was implying just now?
I think it was. Actually.
No, the way you were making that sound is you were like, oh, the other producers get to go have fun. How come we can't have fun? How come we have to do chores, Dad? That's what that felt like. Other parents don't make their kids do chores.
Oh, boy. It might be time to take a look at the handbook. Might be time to take a look at the handbook a little bit.
Serious right there.
No, Jeff and I both looked at each other when they said Braves is going to talk later today, and I'm like, wow, Braves. Man. It'd be nice to have the former Walsh Jesuit Warrior,
Ohio State Buckeye,
NFL Pittsburgh head Steeler. Coach, New England Patriot, you know, All-American guy.
Houston Texan defensive coordinator.
It's not like we haven't reached out to him to try to get him on our show already, too. So failure is my middle name, so that didn't
nice
happen.
Nice job, but dude.
Anyway, I still think it's interesting that, you know, even was it yesterday Stefanski was talking about Vrabel and was like, hey, do you think he'd come here? And then they called him and he was like, yeah. Oh, it was Andrew Berry that said it yesterday that was talking about how, you know, he and Kevin were on some kind of committee together. And that they're just lucky. And then he also talked about the importance of having a coach who's hands-on, right? Like a guy who's not afraid to get into the mix and be dirty because they, you know, they kind of think that, you know, and I believe this too, that coaches that are out there with their players can respect the players. It's not like they're asking them to be at NFL level when they're trying to block or teach blocking technique or stuff like that. But, you know, there was video of Vrabel the other day working with the tight ends and showing
– Vrabes.
Braves, are you going to be okay? Are we going to bring this up all day, or can we let it go?
Kind of like bringing it up all day.
I think that anybody from Northeast Ohio, any Buckeye fan, knows him as Braves, too. He is, you know, you're a big nickname guy.
Well, we now know him as Braves.
We're talking about decades of Braves.
That's great. That's wonderful news.
I'm glad you're able to come into the party today here in 2024.
Well, you know.
Very excited for you.
Braves has a special
place in
spot
your heart.
In my heart.
Yeah, of course he does. Yeah. Does it make a difference? Do you think that I think it takes a special head coach at that point to be able to accept another head coach into the fold to try to get help.
I think it's a very – I don't want to use the word odd, but I'm not sure which word to use right now. It's not odd.
I
think it's like a magnanimous thing. You know what I mean? Kevin got his contract extension.
Right.
Okay? There is no head coaching waiting here in Cleveland.
And like Andrew's saying, you know, you when you talk about your head coach and you start listening to your resume of, you know, two-time coach of the year and blah, blah, blah.
I think it's big. I think it's big that Stefanski has enough comfort
exactly.
in his position to bring in a guy, A, who's really good.
Right.
I think Vrabel's a really good head coach. And B, with ties here in Northeast Ohio, which would clearly make him a fan favorite, to be a head coach here, you know, local guy, Ohio State, that's all you need to know.
Right.
Right? You combine that. And Kevin is comfortable in his situation to bring in a guy like that, who many coaches would consider a threat.
For sure.
And allow him to help your team get better. I think that's terrific. And I also like it from this standpoint. Vrabel's not taking a year off.
No, he wants to be involved. I mean... Can we be really honest about this? I mean, if the Ohio State job opens next year, don't you think he'd want to go back to Ohio State?
Oh, I don't
know. Brian Day's out. I got to think that would be...
What are you saying?
Well, I'm just saying that
Brian
Vrabel's...
Day's out?
No, I'm just saying that Ryan Day's got a ton of pressure on him.
Well, anybody
and
does.
And you know I like Ryan Day. But I got to think Vrabel would be next on the list.
Wow.
At least, you know, when I start thinking about guys at Ohio State, I think Vrabel would be outstanding.
I think that's interesting.
I think Vrabel was outstanding. Was it at Ohio State before?
I would think that any NFL head coaching job that opens up, he would be a leading candidate for if he chose to be. I think an NFL team who had an opening.
Although we were both surprised he didn't get a job this
year. That's correct.
I was kind of shocked.
I think that with what he's doing now, any NFL team that doesn't talk to him if they have an opening, either in season or at the end of the season, is making a huge mistake.
I always think that maybe some things work out for reasons. And there were rumors about him going up to New England that he might have a shot at that Patriots job, but when it was all said and done, he didn't get the gig. And so who knows? Maybe something happens down in Columbus or something happens in the NFL. I often wonder too if you're in that position after being a successful head coach in the NFL, that would you want to go back and coach college? And now the college game has changed so much.
College game sounds like it's a royal pain in the you
it
know
sounds,
what.
Yeah, because now you're constantly recruiting your own players. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to do that in the NFL, right? If you've got guys that are going to be free agents,
except
but it's just a different story.
Like, your roster's intact if you want it to be, with contracts from year to year.
The other part of it is the pressure of that is on the general manager. It's not on the head coach. Where I feel like in college,
Agreed.
If you're losing a guy, it's all on the head coach. Like, the head coach is the guy that's got to resell his own play. I think that is probably one of the worst parts of sports right now, that you have to re-recruit guys to want to stay. And don't think that this isn't all bleeding into high school, too. It is. And it's just – it's a part of the game that I just – to me, it's just like, what? You know, you're sitting here, you're a college coach at a successful program – you've got outstanding athletes on your team, players that have been embraced, probably throughout their entire career, and then embraced by the fan base at the college that you're at. And now all of a sudden, you've got every other team in the country coming at these great players to say, hey, you know what, we're going to give you more money if you want to come in here. And to, let's just get you in the transfer portal, and then we'll pay you more somewhere else in college. It just feels dirty, doesn't it?
Yes.
It just doesn't feel right. So
no, it doesn't feel right.
So Mike Vrabel scheduled to speak a little bit later today. What else do we get from Kevin there? Just kind of a daily
Deshaun
update.
Watson expected to throw today?
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Good with
all,
it?
It's all yeah. I got. Great. He's going to throw. I just get us to week one and put the guy in the field and let's see him go. That's the entire story of this season. I mean, yeah, there are all kinds of other little things. None of them matter. If Deshaun Watson goes out and lays an egg, or if he goes out and he's unable to play for whatever reason. And I don't know why I think this, but I do. I think this is it. I think this is year number three with him in Cleveland in a 5-year contract. And if it doesn't work this year and they think they have a roster that's ready to go, I think that he either has to do it this year or I don't think he's going to be around for a fourth year.
Don't you feel like, because I do, that when you listen to people talk about Deshaun going into this season, they're more optimistic than they have been in any season here in Cleveland? And I don't know if that's because of health. I don't know if that's because all the garbage is behind him and that maybe he can go at this with a clear mind, and or maybe they're just trying to set themselves up for saying, okay, here we go. This is it, because this is the best opportunity for him so far since he's been here. But the level of optimism for Deshaun going into this season, I think, is the highest. And I
thought it was this high last year. Then he got hurt. I think it's actually really similar to last year.
Almost the same?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I feel like it's a little bit higher this year. And maybe because of the pressures that we're talking about. Knowing that, hey, man, this is make or break right now. Like, it's time that everybody makes a decision on whether Deshaun Watson can be a top 10 quarterback. Where does he need to be, Jeff?
Upper half.
Top 15? That's what you're saying? He needs to be a top 15 quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah. I think
he's got to be an asset, not a detriment.
Right.
So far, he's been a detriment.
I get torn.
And he's killed your salary structure, and you've based around him, and he's played 12 games for you, 6 in each year.
Has he really crushed? I don't see any players on this team that are like, oh, they undercut this guy, or we lost this guy because of him. Or
I mean, you're spending all that money on the guy. If you weren't spending it on him, you might be spending it on others.
Another quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
Because I don't
You're spending huge money on a guy who's played 12 games for you. That doesn't work. You know what I mean? That bottom line, that just doesn't work. So I just think this year he has to produce. And in order to produce, he's got to be on the field.
Go ahead, Dan.
A little bit of news coming down, courtesy of everybody. Zach Meisel of The Athletic. Lane Thomas hitting second today for the Guardians, starting in right field. Will Brennan optioned to AAA.
Well, there you go. Didn't I mention
Will Brennan
earlier?
He wasn't until you said something. And then all of a sudden,
folks over at Carnegie in Ontario went, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, let's move him along.
All right, let's go back. I want to talk Guardians,
Wouldn't that leave a spot on the roster?
No, because you had to add Lane Thomas.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay. Let's come back and talk about this trade. Are you good with what the Guardians – if the Guardians stand pat right now, are you good before 6 o'clock? Do you feel healthy walking into the rest of the season? Or are you going to walk away going, man, they just didn't do enough. They needed to do more. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. All right, we're waiting for 6 o'clock today, I think, we're hoping something happens before 6 o'clock. But Guardians go out, they get Lane Thomas, as you heard. He will bat second today. And what position is he playing? I missed that.
Right field.
I was going to play right field. Mm-hmm. I was kind of hoping he'd be in center field.
Give it time.
I was just trying to speed up the process a little bit.
He's never played middle infield, which means he can't play center field.
Oh, okay, that explains everything.
Sorry.
Oh, wait. Nope, he did.
Sorry.
Pony ball. Three games.
Oh, he's in.
Yeah, three games.
He's got a chance.
Against the Sharks. If there is a trade today, though,
yep.
We want you to be informed. We want you to know what's going on. That's why Jeff and I have been sitting here for 13 years.
Yep.
It's not for our great repartee. It's to give you news and information when it happens.
For the benefits.
Oh, we get benefits? Wait, you're getting benefits? You will hear this noise if there's a deal that goes down today.
That's music. That's not a noise.
You will hear that noise.
I mean, that's musical poetry right there.
I don't know. It sounds like a ground ball the second to me.
not anymore, because Lane Thomas is here.
It's all right. At least we have 15 guys to stand there at second, so they can all get their reps. So that's the deal. You'll hear that sounder if there is a deal made today. Obviously, the talk of the town yesterday was the deal that the Guardians made to get Lane Thomas again from the Nationals, and he was sent for three minor leaguers, Jose Tania, Rafael Ramirez Jr., Alex Clemmy. All three of those guys are headed to the nation's capital, or mm-hmm. at least minor leaguers, for the Nationals. And so, Jeff, let me start here.
Yeah.
Did it feel like a fair trade?
Oh, Andy, these kind of trades are impossible to judge. And I say that only because you traded two 19-year-old kids. You know, what if Rafael Ramirez turns into Manny Ramirez? Oh, then it was a terrible trade. Sorry. And what are the odds of him doing that? Who knows? Right? I mean, we don't know. So it has to be a trade that you view down the road. Alex Clemmy was highly thought of. He was the eighth-ranked prospect in this organization, and they like him. Let me just throw this thought. Sam Henches, 6'6", left-hander. He was a fourth-round pick. Clemmy, 6'6", left-hander. He was a second-round pick. Henches, years and years and years trying to develop as a starter in the system, and was drafted out of high school, just like Clemmy. You know, maybe Clemmy becomes a starter. Maybe at some point, same thing happens to him that happened to Henches. Hey, this starter thing is not going to work. You're going to become a bullpen guy. Who knows? I mean, they're 19-year-old kids. What we know is this. Lane Thomas took a while to become a productive major league player. You know, he kind of kicked around for a while. Nothing wrong with that. I'm always slightly leery of guys who take a while, position players, to kind of find themselves. And it's not a bad thing, But it's just kind of like, okay.
Do you mean defensively or offensively?
Offensively.
Okay.
So for
I do think that he came up when
he was 23 with St. Louis, Sandy.
I still think there's a wood bat period too for a lot of those guys, don't you?
Oh, I don't know. Not by the time, for instance, he came up with St. Louis, okay? And in his time with St. Louis, he didn't hit the ball too terribly well and then got moved along and to Washington for John Lester, actually. And then he went to Washington, got more playing time, and when he was 26, that was 2 years ago, he kind of found himself, right? He hit 17 homers, 52 runs batted in. Last year, he was 27, best year of his career. He was really good. 28 homers, 86 runs batted in, stole 20 bases, hit .268. If the Guardians can get something that resembles that, and I like the fact that he's under contract for next year, or at least he's arbitration eligible. I should say he's under control. Okay, great. He's missed a month out of this season. So you can't just look at his numbers and think, yeah, well, his power numbers are down, everything's down. Though it's true, he did miss a month. But 8 homers, 40 runs batted in, that's not quite what he did. His batting average is down 15 points. This one concerns me just a little bit. One of the things I read about him was quotes from the general manager of the Nationals,
mm-hmm.
who said, I still think he's a good player. Whenever I hear, I still think, I think, well, wait a minute. So other folks think he's sliding? What's going on? All that said, this guy's going to play most every day. And offensive help was a nominee for a gold glove last year. Okay.
He gave up a minor league gold glove, though, right? Or
Tana won like a minor league gold glove last year. He's the one guy of the middle infielders that was hitting okay, and you didn't get much of a look at him up here. This team needed another. Andy, I think his team needed a starting outfielder, and they went out and picked up a starting outfielder. I don't know how you can sit here, anybody, and say anything other than, okay, nice job. Let's see how this goes.
I don't know. I was just kind of glancing through his stats here. The only thing that would kind of concern me, and tell me if I'm crazy, the way that the Guardians run and like to take bases, is this a concern? And Dan, I'll ask you this too. He's been caught stealing 12 times this year.
Leads the majors in being caught stealing.
Yeah, and he's only got 341 plate appearances. And I know we're talking about being hurt and hasn't played there, but that number just kind of jumped off the page at me because I'm like, man, the Guardians love to be aggressive on the base paths, and here's a guy that's who we think is fast.
No, he's fast.
Yeah, but why is he getting caught stealing so much?
Because the Nationals were basically the team that was like, well, we really don't have as much talent as the Phillies, and we really don't have as much talent as the Braves in the beginning of the year, so how are we going to figure this out? I know. Let's just steal like hell. Like, they, if that's really was their mantra. Like, they just took off all the time. There wasn't a whole lot of... Like, they were, you know,
or the Nationals.
I'm not calling it like a little league or anything like that, but like they definitely tried to steal more bases than the average team would. So I think finding his way here where they want to steal bases and
there's protection around them a little bit.
Other ways of creating runs other than just stealing bases.
Yeah. Right. Like that's kind of the thing that the Nats were. Like the Nats this season were a really fun story. They were a really fun team to watch because of that exact reason. Let's just run.
Let me throw this other Lane Thomas topic at you as they bring him in again.
And
he's going to play today.
He's happy to be here.
Well, I would be.
Yeah.
There were guys in the clubhouse that were excited to hear that he's coming, that they added to the outfield, that they made themselves a little bit better.
Will Brennan, not one of them.
Well, yeah, Will I got sent back down. But so let's go. I just want to look at last 2 years' numbers. So, you know, he played 146 games in 22. He played 156 games last year, and this year he's only played in 77. We talked a little bit about, you know, injury there. So 300 at-bats compared to last year, 628 at-bats. The home run numbers then, he had 28 home runs last year. That was up from 17 in 22. But this year he's sitting there at 8 home runs, and if you kind of want to just double it, and let's just say he had the equal amount of plate appearances, which would have been 682. Compared to where he was last year, he's exactly halfway where he was at last season. You would maybe hope that he would have 16 home runs. yet he had 28 last year and only 8 this year. Is that, does that go back to the fact that, you know, the Nationals didn't have anyone to protect him in the lineup? Does that mean that the power numbers are down? What does that mean that he's sitting there? He went from 28 homers to 8 home runs. Well, and the, how does that change?
The 28's probably the aberration, Andy.
I don't know. I mean, well,
in 2021, the year before he hit 17, before that he didn't hit for a whole lot of power.
No, he had a grand total of 14, 15, 19 home runs in his first, well, I guess 2 years in the league.
In the minors in 2018, he had a lot of home runs. He had 27 between AA and AAA. And in his minor league career the next year, he had 10 and split some time with the Cardinals coming up. He had 14 home runs total combined. He's not a power hitter. Mm. Okay, but he's a competent major league hitter. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's
major league hitter. And he was hitting second for the Nationals. I thought, I'll bet they drop him into the second spot here, and they did for today anyway.
I'm going to bring this up in a second. I don't know. Yesterday when I heard about the deal, I was like, this guy screams center fielder for them, especially if he has the speed that he's talking about.
Played center field.
So to me, I'm just like, okay, I feel better. Especially if John Kenzie Noel is the deal, man. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. So...
I hope, and then there's David Fry too. Now, what do all three of those guys have in common? They're all right-handed hitters. So, are you gonna, you know, what are you gonna do? You face a right-hander. Are you gonna play all three? I mean, is Fry gonna DH? Is Noel gonna be in right field? And is
Kwan?
Thomas gonna be in center? Or are you gonna is Angel Martinez, who's switch hits? Is he gonna be? You know, what's he gonna be?
I don't know. We'll find that out pretty quick, won't we? 216-474-0092. Mike is in Elyria. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I was really excited yesterday when we got Lane Thomas. I wanted him last year. I was hoping they would get him last year, but they didn't because the price was too high. And I looked through his stats on Baseball Savant and on Fangraphs. This guy is the ideal second hitter in a lineup. He is so patient. He walks a lot. He doesn't chase. He doesn't strike out. He's going to give Kwan opportunities to steal bases. And the thing that I love the most is that he's coming from a lineup that is an absolute dumpster fire in Washington. And they're going to put him right in front of Jose Ramirez. This guy is going to get fastballs to hit that he crushes according to his stats. If you look at his stats, he has a better... a run created average against lefties than Bryce Harper has, period. This guy's an elite hitter against left-handed pitchers. Take a look at his stats. He doesn't do as well against right-handers, but he makes up for it with his speed and with his good eye at the plate by walking and getting on base. I'm totally excited about him. I would disagree about playing him in center field, though. He is not a center fielder. If you look at his range and his statistics as far as his range, it's not great.
Okay. I just know that when they made the deal yesterday, I was like, they keep sticking, you know, middle infielders into center field, and here's a legit outfielder. So that was just kind of the way I read into it. Thank you, Mike. Mike and O'Leary.
326 against lefties. 224 against righties.
Hmm. Did the Guardians make the right move yesterday? Are you looking forward to watching Lane Thomas in a Guardians uniform? And do you think they're done? Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's...
He's a competent major league hitter. And he was hitting second for the Nationals. I thought, I'll bet they drop him into the second spot here. And they did for today anyway.
I'm going to bring this up in a second. I don't know. Yesterday when I heard about the deal, I was like... This guy screams center fielder for them, especially if he has the speed that he's talking about.
Played center field.
So to me, I'm just like, okay, I feel better. Especially if John Kenzie Noel is the deal, man. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. So
I hope. And then there's David Fry, too. Now, what do all three of those guys have in common? They're all right-handed hitters. So are you going to, you know, what are you going to do? You face a right-hander, are you going to play all three? I mean, is Fry going to DH? Is Noel going to be in right field? And is
Kwan?
Thomas going to be in center? Or are you going to is Angel Martinez, who's switch hits, is he going to be? You know, what's he going to be?
I don't know. We'll find that out pretty quick, won't we? 216-474-0092. Mike is in Elyria. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I was really excited yesterday when we got Lane Thomas. I wanted him last year. I was hoping they would get him last year, but they didn't because the price was too high. And I looked through his stats on Baseball Savant and on FanGraphs. This guy is the ideal second hitter in a lineup. He is so patient. He walks a lot. He doesn't chase. He doesn't strike out. He's going to give Kwan opportunities to steal bases. And the thing that I love the most is that he's coming from a lineup that is an absolute dumpster fire in Washington. And they're going to put him right in front of Jose Ramirez. This guy is going to get fastballs to hit that he crushes according to his stats. If you look at his stats, he has a better run created average against lefties than Bryce Harper has, period. This guy's an elite hitter against left-handed pitchers. Take a look at his stats. He doesn't do as well against right-handers, but he makes up for it with his speed and with his good eye at the plate by walking and getting on base. I'm totally excited about him. I would disagree about playing him in center field, though. He is not a center fielder. If you look at his range and his statistics as far as his range, it's not great.
Okay. I just know that when they made the deal yesterday, I was like, they keep sticking, you know, middle infielders into center field, and here's a legit outfielder. So that was just kind of the way I read into it. Thank you, Mike. Mike and O'Leary.
326 against lefties, 224 against righties.
Did the Guardians make the right move yesterday? Are you looking forward to watching Lane Thomas in a Guardians uniform, and do you think they're done? Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.